morning to all of you. Thank you so much. Barbara and I appreciate your prayers as we travel through the very, very extremely hot country of California. Can't believe it. I really cannot believe that there's a hotter place than Houston, but it is. We're so glad to be back and love on you guys because we just missed you guys. I am entering an area in 1 Corinthians where it's pretty dangerous for speakers, okay? And so I want to ask you guys to pray with me during this week and as we move on. Also, I want to make the statement that it is the Word of God. My opinions are not worth a whole lot unless they're based on the Word of God. So if you have, or someone comes up to you and say, you know, I really disagree with that pastor, you know, what he said, well, make sure that the disagreement is with my opinion and not with the Word of God, because then I have no issue with that. I think for Christians and the world alike, if we have an issue with the Word of God, then let it be. That's what it's about. We either believe the Word of God or we don't. We either want to embrace it or we do not. And that's where we are. Would you join me in prayer as we look into 1 Corinthians chapter 6? Father, would you help us today as we look into your scriptures, your word, that was so important 2,000 years ago and throughout these years, and is just as relevant today. Would you speak to our hearts, Lord? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think the interesting thing is, as we enter into chapter 6, a lot of people will say, well, this has nothing to do with us at all, because we have no lawsuit in our church, do we? It's talking about that. But you know what? It's not just about the lawsuits. It's about some things that are deeper in principle. And this is one of the things that Paul pulls out. And next week and the week following, there's going to be a whole bunch of things. And I believe that the Apostle Paul can be here today, and he can write about this very same things, and he will not be out of place. Our society today was just as much, is just as much sinful and degenerate in so many ways as it was back 2,000 years ago during the days of the Roman Empire. Now, this passage we have today is dealing with lawsuits. Let me give you just a little background to understand why they're having this issue. The Roman Empire was 1,000 years in existence, and there's so many things about it. It was not democratic because it was ruled by a Caesar, an emperor, and there were many of them, almost 100 in that 1,000-year period. But nevertheless, they ruled with, you know, literally an iron fist. If you disobey them, you're done. That's it. But nevertheless, they had a lot of democratic freedom that we understand today because it was based along the lines of a lot of Greek philosophical thinking. And the Greeks supposed to be the, you know, modern, beginning of the modern democratic and philosophical ways. And one of the things that they did was they sued each other a lot, just like today. They had a lot of kind of ways about them. And so the church itself got itself into it. Now let me describe to you what it is. This is how they would do it. And if somebody had an issue back in those days, in the Greek area and in Roman area, they would, before they get to a king or something like that, they would go and have, actually, you know, arbitrators. If I have something, they will get someone for me and you, someone else, and then the three of them will get together and try to settle it, and it sounds pretty amiable. And then if that doesn't work, they will go on. This is a common thing. In the Greek society, in the Roman society, they're suing all the time. Even, if you can believe it, even worse than us. And then they will go on, there'll be 40 of them. You know, the next level is 40 people. This is what they did. And if that doesn't work out, they'll go to 200 people. There will be 200 jury selection, in a sense. And if that doesn't work out, and people are still not happy with it, they'll literally go to either 1,000 up to 6,000 jurors. To talk about your case. Of course, your case better be a big one for you to get that many. That's how they used to do it. So how can you get 6,000 people to agree? They didn't do that. They're not like today where you have to have unanimous decisions. It was just majority. So you have 6,000 people, you got 3,001, you won. That's how they did it. So everybody in that society would understand suing. And that's what you do. You do that all day long. You sue one another. You try to get things from another, just like now. You not only want to get what's rightfully yours, you think, you want to get a little bit more. The pain and sufferings you caused me. So it was a very common thing. And it came into the church. And so it happens that Christians inside the church, they didn't get along with each other and started suing each other. They sue each other for all kinds of things, but essentially they were getting money from one another. You're going to have to pay me for the wrongs you did to me. And the Apostle Paul said, are you guys kidding? You're doing this kind of stuff? And then he begins to delve into why they were doing it and the reason they shouldn't be doing it, because they are different people. Paul wanted them to know that they are distinctly different, but they didn't get it. One of the problems that we have today, and it was back then too, was that being a Christian was not really distinctly different. You know, the whole idea of being a new creation, being transformed, all those things, well, we read it, we don't think about it. We're not really applying it. We just think that being a Christian means just we're just a little better. A lot of people think that way. If you're a Christian, that means one thing. The first thing that it means is that you have a ticket to eternity. Oh, that's great. Now I have eternal life. I don't have to think about what's going to happen to me when I die or things like that. That's really important. Of course it is. Your name in the book of life is awesome important. But then there are other things too, you know, such as being born again, such as being transformed, such as being a child of the living God, such as being in the kingdom of God, and we'll talk about this in a little bit while later. But most of the times the Christians aren't thinking that. What they're doing instead is like, okay, now I'm a Christian, I'm a better person. And they bring all the garbage of their lives in the past into the church as well. So whatever I was, you know, I'm just a little better now. If I'm an angry person, I'm not as angry now. You know, if I was not a very nice person to you, I'm a little nicer now. But all the sinfulness, the stuff that we have, we drag into the church, and then the church accommodates the sinful things of our lives. That's not church. That's not the gospel. That's not the Christian life. But that's what we do. So instead of transforming the world, we accommodate the world. And the world comes into our church, and we just become a little bit better than the world. We're a little godlier than the world. And so this situation with lawsuits are, hey, he wronged me. He won't pay me. He's got to pay me. I'm taking him to court. But he's a brother in the Lord. He's a Christian. No, I'm doing it anyway. So they did it. And in case you think we don't do that here today, oh, we do. Oh, we do. And many of you are saying, you know what, I remember that. You know, I could have taken them to court. I think I had a right to do so. I think all of us, if we here live long enough, or we've been a Christian long enough, if we lived in life long enough, there are a lot of situations where we could have said, you know what, he wronged me. I deserved better than that. There needs to be justice. You're saying, I gotta take it to court. Where else am I going to go? You know, you feel like there's no recourse. We can't do anything. But to take it to court. And then worse than that, sometimes there are Christians and Christian organizations, because they read this passage in 1 Corinthians 6, they say, well, they can't sue me. So they do anything to you. They do nasty things to you. They hurt you. And they say, oh, you can't sue me. If you sue me, you're a bad person. And so what do you do? What do you do? But the Apostle Paul was not really addressing lawsuit alone, although he is. He's addressing this, and then opens up later on, next week and the following week, we're going to talk about more. He's going to open up a whole bunch of stuff that we literally can read in our newspaper today. And things that are, Pastor Dan, you really want to talk about that today or ever? He's going to do that. But his point is not the lawsuit alone. Let me just say this, it's very clear. Those of us who are Christians, who believe in the Word of God, if you sue a brother in the Lord, you are in sin, period. Period. You say, no, there's no qualification here. There's no qualification. You are. You don't do that. But no, you don't do that. But it's great loss. They hurt. No, you don't do that. That's what it is. But the Apostle Paul is talking about something else. He's saying, guys, you realize you are God's people. You are children of the living God. You have been saved by grace in Jesus Christ. You are distinctly different, first of all. He says, don't you know that you are so special that one day you'll be judging the world? You and I have to know who we are. Let me tell you the word here in the Greek that is used as the word judge is krinomen. The word there literally means judging, like judging, or ruling. They can be interchangeable. Do you know that as God's people, as Christians, as a child of God, as being born again, that we will judge the world? Did you know that? Did you know what kind of people you are? Do you know who you are? You are royalty. You are people that are literally going to judge the world. And a world is going to need a lot of judging. You're going to be sitting on thrones judging the world. You know, the Bible talks about that. You can go to the Old Testament, you go to the New Testament. It talks about that, that God's people will be judging. Now, he says that really clear because if you are going to judge the world, why in the world would you let the world judge you? It doesn't make any sense. Why would you have a squabble, have a disagreement, and say, you know what, we can't get along. Let's go ask a worldly judge, a worldly jury, a worldly prosecutor, a worldly defense attorney to judge us. Why would you do that? It doesn't make any sense. The Apostle Paul said, you are literally going to sit in judgment of the world. I don't know if you ever thought about that. I don't know if you want to do that. But nevertheless, that is what you are going to do. You're going to rule and you are going to judge. Make judgments. And not only that, he goes on a little bit in verse 3. He says, you are going to judge angels. Huh? Really? The greatest beings that God has ever created before men were angels. You remember the archangel Michael. You remember the archangel Lucifer, for that matter. The archangel Gabriel. These are mighty angels. Angels can be, who knows what they can do. They can move worlds. And we are going to judge them. You say, what does that mean? Do they need judging? Well, maybe we are going to be part of judging what? Evil angel, the demons. I don't know. Not sure. There's no description of it, although there are passages in which it talks about that. But definitely, we are going to rule over angels. Angelic beings are going to be ruled by you and I because we are sons and daughters of the living God. So if we're going to do all that, why would we go to court to solve our financial problem with a brother in the Lord? Why would we do that? We do that because we don't know who we are. We do that because we have allowed the world's ways, the sinfulness of the world, to get into the church, get into our lives and say, I got to get my rights. And you will stand before a judge who do not know the Lord, who is not regenerated in his life, who have no future in heaven, and you're going to say, you tell me what's right and wrong. Why would we do that? We do that because we don't know who we are. I think one of the struggles of Christians, when we deal with these other issues next week, and there will be many, we don't know who we are. We just think that we're a little bit better than the sinful world that we came out of. And you and I would be wrong. We are new creations. We are noble. We are God's children. That doesn't make us look down on the sinners of this world. Not at all. We should look at them and say, man, they need what we have. But we need to understand who we are as Christians. And when we do, we won't do those kind of things. We're going to ask the Spirit of God to help us. No. I am not going to hate on my brothers. I am not going to try to take from my brother. I am not going to use the methodology of this world to accomplish the things I want in my heart, which is wrong. We won't do that. Because we know who we are. It's important that we understand that. The second thing, not only knowing who you are, you and I have to choose what we do. That's the best I can do, you know, getting those two little kittens without getting, getting pictures that are offensive. That's kind of what we do, you know. We get our claws out. How dare you? And I love what Paul says here. Why not rather be cheated? You say, what? No way. I'm not going to be cheated. No way, no how. I'm going to be, you know, get my rights. It's my right. He did something to me. He hurt my family. He hurt me. Can you believe what they said? I want to tell you one of the things that is very prevalent in the church. And it happens here too, in CBC, and in Houston, amongst the Christians. And sometimes, you know, it gets people to a place where I have no choice. I got to take them to court. The enemy uses this all the time. He loves to use words to hurt us. That's what he does. I think the biggest tool of the enemy against the church is slander. Well, gossip too, but gossip can be true, but slander is not true. You love to say things, especially if you're a leader. I mean, as a pastor, I lived it, you know. It's part of my life, the last 38 years and more in ministry. That's part of the course, we say. You're always going to have slander. I've heard slanders against Franklin Graham, Billy Graham, all these great people saying, oh, they couldn't say anything about them. Oh, yes, they can. I mean, one guy that I used to think was a great pastor, and he still is, Bill Hybo from Chicago, you know, Willowbrook. I heard slander against him. I had a friend who talked to, who knew Rick Warren, and he talked to me. He said, Rick said to him, you know, there's hundreds of people that can't stand me. They left our church because of things about me they don't like. Slander. You can't stop it. That's what the enemy does. And when some of these slanders are so horrible, what happens is, you know, we don't know how to respond. How could they say that about me? How can they go and tell people about these things? I'm going to sue them. And there it goes. A brother suing somebody else. And the Apostle Paul said, no, don't do that. And you know, the Apostle Paul, he had lots of slander against him. You can just read it. Read it in the book of Acts, on and on. This guy's a guy named Alexander, another guy here, another guy there, just terrorizing him. And he said this, why not rather be cheated? Why not take the pain? He said, no, why should we? It's wrong. But you see, we're different. We're God's people. The Lord Jesus was on the cross of Calvary. He's taking all the pain and suffering that was mine. And he stayed there. So many Christians. How many of them have been burned at the stake that we read about? How many people have been in prison? How many people have been killed? How many people whose family has been in prison? They've taken it. Why? Because they'd rather be cheated. They'd rather lose their right. They'd rather lose all that because of the sake of the gospel. There's been moments in our lives, Barbara and I, people have counseled us to sue certain people in certain situations, and we absolutely refuse. Why? For the sake of the gospel. If it hurts one person, oh, look at that pastor there, he's suing somebody. No matter how right it is, that hurts the gospel. I'm not going to do that. I still remember when we were coming here about 6 years ago, and I was being vetted, you know, by you guys. And one person in the pastoral search committee called me. I said, oh, we got a problem, Pastor Dan. I said, oh, okay. What's the problem? We researched your name, and you were involved in some lawsuits. I said, really? No, I don't think so. I've never been sued, and I've never sued anybody. So your name is Daniel Ho. I said, you know how many Daniel Ho there are? There's somebody doing the Food Network right now. There's a Dr. Ho dealing with back pains on television right now. Look it up. It's not me. And it was not me. Okay? Like, oh, a little scary there, you know? Wouldn't you rather be cheated instead? He says, instead, you yourself cheat. You're doing this so that you can get money. You're doing this so that you can gain for yourself. This is not who we are, because we are royalties. We don't do those things. Because we are members of the family of God. We're children of God. We don't do those things. Some of you, I don't know any lawsuits going on right now amongst you guys or you against any brothers in the Lord. Don't do it. Just drop it. Rather be cheated. Don't worry. God is there. He'll take care of you, no matter how bad it is. You and I have to choose what to do. We got to get those claws back into our, you know, paws, and we got to say, no, 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 we won't do that. We're going to love on our friends. We're going to love on our enemies. We're going to say, you know what, I love you in the Lord, even though you're doing this to me, I'm not going to hurt you in any way whatsoever. I want to tell you, when you do that, I guarantee you, good things will happen. God will take care of you. Doesn't mean you won't suffer loss. You will suffer loss, but the loss are nothing compared to what God is going to do. So don't do that, and don't ever do that in a church. Can we just have some kind of settlement? Some kind of, yes, you do. You take it to leaders in the church, whether in this church or other churches. I've done it before. You get deacons together, elders together, pastors together. You get them together and you say, okay, we want to talk about this is what happened, this is what happened. And let them arbitrate. Let them do what they would do as godly men and women. That's what we do if we want to keep the gospel message powerful, effective, and pure. Now I want to talk about the last thing here, understanding why God's kingdom matters. I didn't go much beyond verse 9, but I will read that passage to you later. Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? See, this is important. This is really important. We need to understand the kingdom of God. We need to understand that as we enter the kingdom of God by believing on Jesus Christ, asking him to become our Savior and our Lord, and being regenerated and being born again by the Spirit of God, we need to understand that we enter this kingdom. And this kingdom is not the kingdom of this world. We shouldn't drag the kingdom of the world into the kingdom of God. We cannot do that. What we need to do is instead to transform the kingdom of the world by our presence, by our message, by our acts and deeds and words. That's what we do. We go into a situation that is, you know, just worldly, whatever it is. And by stepping into that situation, being who we are, saying what we say, doing what we do, we transform that. And one after another, people are saying, I want that. I want what this guy has. I want what you have. That's what we do. That's what the kingdom of God is about. But instead, we do the opposite. But we need to understand that those who are not in the kingdom of God will not inherit the kingdom of God. The kingdom of this world does not do it. And no matter what we do, no matter what we say about it, it is not going to do that. So it's very important that we do not misunderstand what the kingdom of God is. Now, I'm going to read this passage to you. This is what I'm going to speak about next week, and I need your prayer. From verse 9 to 11, I'm not preaching on it today, but this is what the kingdom of the world is about. In case we misunderstand and we think that's the kingdom of God too, it says, or do you not know, verse 9 to 11, if you have a Bible, you can certainly read it with me, but just listen to me. Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? This is from the New American Standard Bible, which is a better translation than the New NIV. Do not be deceived. Now listen to me here. This is the word of God. Neither the sexually immoral, okay? Those who are sleeping around, those who are doing things that are immoral and perverted and whatever. No idolaters, those who are in other religions, worshiping other gods, or in a church that do not worship the Lord Jesus Christ. No adulterers, those who are married but are having affairs and doing things whether with their mind or literally with their bodies. No men who have sex with other men. These are the ones that are homosexuals, lesbians, on and on. And it goes on, there's another word there called and effeminate in there also. Transgender folks. I said it, that's right. This is the word of God. No adulterers, nor thieves, those who steal, whatever, however they steal, whether legally in a corporate ladder or whatever else, nor the greedy, those who are always trying to build up their wealth and making it bigger and bigger and bigger is never enough, nor drunkards, and I know a few of them, who are just constantly addicted to things and wanting that, nor slanderers, those who go out and say things about people purposely, knowing it's wrong, nor swindlers. Oh my goodness, I met a few in the church trying to swindle two people, trying to swindle this little old lady of her house. Unbelievable. Will inherit the kingdom of God. Got that? Just because the world tells you otherwise. Just because the world says, oh, no, 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 no. As long as you love somebody, it's okay. I even heard somebody said, homosexual marriages are holy. No, it's not. It is in the world, not the kingdom of God. But it goes on. Paul's not trying to say these are horrible people. No, no, no. Verse 11, he said, and that is what some of you were. That's who we were. When I was 12 years old, I was part of a gang. One of the worst gangs in New York City. That's what I was. When I was 13, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I left the world. I entered the kingdom of God. We were all a part of something like that. And he said, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. I want you to understand that the kingdom of God matters to us. We are in the kingdom of God. We want to bring people into the kingdom of God. We do not want to justify the kingdom of the world and say it's okay. If you and I do that, then we have left the gospel message. That's not what God said. And the Apostle Paul is dealing with his situation, and we need to deal with ours. And we need to be people of God in which we become a part of the answer and not a part of the continuing problems of it. The Church of Jesus Christ must be pure in this area. We must know that we are noble before God. We are in the kingdom of God. We're children of God. We are there, not there. Our job is to transform this by our presence and our message of forgiveness from God. The fact that we have been there and we are now here. Our job is not to make that okay. Because if you do, you are a messenger that transports these into eternal damnation. And that's not what we do. I want to encourage you guys to know who you are. Lift your head up. Know who you are. Be that noble child of God. Says, we don't do those things. I will never sue my brother in the Lord. Take it if you want it. I'm not going to live that way because I know God and he is my Father. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to come before you to thank you. Thank you for your message and thank you for your transformative power in our lives. Oh, Lord God, would you change us every single day a little bit more? Would you minister to us? Father, perhaps there's some issues here, some folks that are struggling with these things. I pray, Lord God, that you speak to their hearts, that you have a great and awesome life in mind for them, no matter what their situation is. Lord God, thank you for your grace.